Ephesians chapter 6. And we will be in verse 16 tonight. We have been reading about the armor of God. And the armor of God is simply the pieces of the equipment of faith that God gives us so we can stand in the days that we live in. I think we're guilty of often saying that the days we live in are more wicked than any days there's ever been. And I'm afraid that's not accurate. Because the Bible tells us the days of Noah were the most wicked that there's ever been. And so apparently we've got a ways to go to tie up Noah's day, if that's our goal. I hope it's not. It seems like it is. Our society gets more and more decadent. Sometimes we hear the news or read the newspaper and hear something that's done that just blows our imagination, blows our mind, that people could be so wicked and vile to even come up with some of the things that they do. And it's just a sign of the times we're at. And so you and I, as Christians, as believers that are supposed to be swimming upstream, so to speak, in this world and be different from everybody else, it's going to make us look odd. Now, the Bible calls us a peculiar people, and I guess that's a good word for it. But if we're trying to live for the Lord and stand for the Lord, we're definitely going to be different from the rest of the world that's around us. And to protect us, God gives us spiritual armor. We've been reading about that armor in Ephesians 6. We began in verse 14 with having your loins girt about with truth, and we talked about that on the first Wednesday. Then we went into the last half of verse 14, the breastplate of righteousness, and talked about that. Last week we were in verse 15, and we talked about our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. And so that brings us tonight to verse 16, and it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So tonight we want to talk about this shield of faith. The faith that's mentioned here is not referring to saving faith, but rather to living faith. I believe tonight I'm looking at folks that have experienced saving faith. You have already put your reliance, your complete trust for your eternal soul into the hands of Jesus Christ. Pity those that have not done that. Pity those that are, for one reason or another, trusting anything else, if they're trusting anything, trusting their religion, trusting their morality, trusting the sacraments, trusting anything for their soul salvation outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, pity on them, because only Jesus Christ can give salvation to the soul. And that salvation comes by faith. But the faith that's being talked about here is not that saving faith, but the faith that follows that saving faith, and that's a living and growing and vibrant faith. Once we're saved, we're just starting the journey. Once we're saved, we're just beginning the walk. Now the Bible says, we're good soldiers of Jesus Christ. And so now that we're saved, we have to have that living faith. Once we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, we are to walk by faith as a Christian. Too many folks tag the name of Christian onto them, and they're not deserving of that name. They're not worthy of that name. They're not honoring that name. Christian is not just a title of one that's born in the United States of America. So, well, we're a Christian nation. And so if you're born here, you're a Christian. No, a Christian is something you get by faith. And once you have that faith, it ought to be able to live out and show out. Unlike the other pieces of armor that we've read about in verse 14, the loins girt about with truth, the breastplate, your chest covered with righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Unlike the other pieces of armor that we put on our bodies, the shield is that which we hold out in front of us. This is not a piece that goes on the body. Not even the helmet of salvation that we'll read about later. This is something that's held out in front of us. It is our first line of defense. Before we get to the breastplate, the feet, anything else, our first line of defense is the shield that we hold. And the Bible says that the shield is the shield of faith. So let's talk about that shield of faith tonight. In this verse, I believe we see three things. Number one, and here's our big $5 word for tonight, the preeminence of faith. The preeminence, and it's spelled like it sounds. Pre is P-R-E, eminence, E-M-I-N-E-N-C-E. Preeminence. So what does that word mean? It means it supersedes. Another big $5. It comes before everything else. The preeminence. The Bible talks about the Lord Jesus Christ, that for us, in the Bible it says that in all things He should have the preeminence. He should be first in everything. So notice the preeminence of this piece of armor. The Bible says in verse 16, above all. Alright? He says, have your loins girt about with truth. Have on the breastplate of righteousness. Have your feet shod with the preparation. But then he says in verse 16, above all. That means above these other three things he's already said. And above the couple he's going to say following. This one is, if we can say it this way, more important or more emphasis is put on. Above all, the Bible says, taking the shield of faith. So those two words above all show the preeminence of faith. Why faith is so important. And we're going to look at five reasons here. And we're going to, I debated when I formulated this outline today of whether or not to, a lot of the times I've wrote the verses out and put the reference, and then we don't need to use our Bible when we do that, because it's all right there. And today I just thought, well, you know, we need a little more practice finding the verses. I think it, to me, it means more when I see the verse with my own eyes. And for me, I like to underline things that jump out in the Word of God to me. And so we're going to do that tonight instead of just the other way. But let's look first of all at 2 Corinthians 1:24. There are 13 verses that we're going to have to look at this way, so you get your finger exercises tonight by turning to the references. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. Let's look at the preeminence of faith, that it is above all the other things. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24, the Bible says this, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy. Notice the last part. For by faith you stand. All right, letter A in our notes tonight is we stand by faith. We stand by faith. In this life, for you to have a testimony for Jesus Christ, you're not going to stand on your own intellect. You're not going to stand on your own good looks. You're not going to stand on your own reasoning abilities and order. You're going to stand by faith. You know, there are folks that cannot formulate the arguments against evolution. They're not good at communicating why we believe certain things are right or wrong, but they can still stand by faith. We're not basing it on our ability to do anything. We're standing upon our faith. If you've been saved for any amount of time, you should be to the point where your faith just can't be shaken. If you've been saved for any amount of time and you've seen what the Lord's done in your life and see what the Lord's done around you, the atheist, the agnostic, the skeptic, the doubter can come and fill their mouth with arguments and say anything you want to, but you just look at them and say, listen, I've come too far and I've seen too much to be a doubter anymore. And we stand by faith. So the Bible tells us that this shield of faith is preeminent because that's what enables us to stand. That soldier without a shield in front of him isn't going to stand long. He's going to go down pretty quick. So we stand by faith. Then look, if you would, just over a few pages, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 7, we see the second thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Not only do we stand by faith, but we walk by faith. We walk. Are you walking by faith? Is every step you take dependent on the Lord Jesus Christ? Every decision we make, every place that we go, everything that we do, are we walking by faith? To some folks, faith is something that you bring to church with you Sunday morning and then leave in the pew as you go out the door. But faith is something that's supposed to be with us 24/7. And the preeminence of faith, the reason it's so important, the reason it's above all, is because we stand by faith and we walk by faith. Turn a few more pages. Right after 2 Corinthians is Galatians, chapter 2 and verse 20. And this is a very familiar verse. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, Paul said. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Letter C, we live by faith. Paul said, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Faith ought to be a constant with us all throughout the day. We walk by faith 24/7. But we live by faith constantly all day long. Our faith is not something we put on for a brief period of time and then put off later. It's not something we pick up and set down. It's something that should define our life. Our life should be defined by our faith. It used to be in America that people's life revolved around faith. But now it's like, faith is a small part that gets a little cubbyhole back in the corner. Faith is something to be picked up only when we need it. But Paul said we live by faith. That's why it's above all the preeminence. We stand, walk, and live by faith. 1 Peter chapter 5, turning back quite a bit into the New Testament before you get back to 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John and Revelation. But 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, and I used these verses this past Sunday preaching about the devil, what he wants to do, what the devil wants. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. All right, we resist the devil by faith. The devil's not afraid of you. He's not afraid of your intellect. He's not afraid of your arguments. He's not afraid of anything about you. We have to resist him. How do we do that? With the shield of faith. We put our faith out in front of us. Our faith is not behind us. Our faith is not hidden in our pockets. It's not in our purse. Our faith is out in front of us, and we resist the devil by faith, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. The devil's out to get the children of God. He doesn't care about the world. He doesn't care about those that are out there without any thought for God. He's after the children of God. And the way that we quench those fiery darts of the wicked is by holding out the shield of faith. We resist the devil by faith. And then letter E, the last point under number 1 in 1 John chapter 5, which is just a few more pages back. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We overcome the world by faith. This is why our faith is so preeminent, because we stand by faith, we walk by faith, we live by faith, we resist the devil by faith, and we overcome the world by faith. How can you believe that God created the world in 6 24-hour days? Because of our faith in the Word of God. How can you believe that salvation is by grace through faith? You mean you don't have to be baptized, you don't have to work for it, because we've overcome the world by faith. Our faith is not in human reasoning, our faith is in the Word of God. That's what allows us to overcome. You know what the problem of the rest of the world is? They're drowning. They're drowning in sin, they're drowning in societal correctness, whatever you want to call it. They're drowning in these things. We've overcome the world. And we've done it because of our faith. We're standing, we're walking, we're living, we're resisting, we're doing all these things by faith. That's why faith is preeminent. Above all, You can have the breastplate and the shoes and the loins girt about, and if you don't have the shield in front of you, you're going to take hits you don't have to take. So let's have that, above all, let's have that shield of faith. All right, number two then. Number one is the preeminence of faith. Number two is the production of faith. The production of faith. Not saving faith, we've already talked about that, but living faith. Saving faith you can't produce. Saving faith is when the Spirit of God works on your heart, convicts you of sin, and you trust Christ as Savior. Folks say, well, I plan to get saved at a certain time. You never will. Because God doesn't work by your timetable and your plans. Saving faith is something that comes when the Spirit of God works, and if the Spirit of God's working, that's the time to get saved. You don't say, well, the Spirit of God's working on me now, I'm convicted, I know I need to get saved. So when I reach a certain age or when I get done doing a few things, I'm going to get saved. It doesn't work that way. That's why the Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Call upon the Lord while He is near, the Bible says in another place. So that saving faith is a matter of a spontaneous action by the conviction of the Holy Ghost that we put our faith and trust in Christ. But now that we're saved, we have a part in our growing faith. Why do some people make what appears to be a sincere confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? And again, we can't always judge. Sometimes we can, but a lot of sometimes we. Somebody goes through the motions and you can just tell they're going through the motions. They're not sincere. They don't mean what they're saying. And God isn't listening to a word of it. But a lot of times people seem to make a profession of faith, trust Christ as Savior, and then after that, just flatline, nothing ever happens. No, they never grow. They never do anything for God. Nothing ever happens. Why is that? Because they're not involved in producing faith. Well, how do you produce faith? All right, letter A. Read the Word of God. Once we're saved, how do we grow our faith? How do we produce our faith? You're probably familiar with Romans 10:17. And Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When we read the Bible every day, the kids sing it downstairs, you grow, grow, grow. When you neglect the Bible and forget to pray, you shrink, shrink, shrink. So for us to produce our faith, to grow in our faith, we have to read the Word of God. The Lord came to His disciples one time and said to them, how is it that you have no faith? That's in Mark chapter 4 and verse 40. How is it that you have no faith? That's when they were out on the Sea of Galilee and the winds were blowing and they were afraid they were going to drown with Jesus Christ in the back of the boat. You know, you can't drown with Jesus Christ in the boat. But they thought they were going to drown, and so they bid Him to do something, woke Him up and said, do something. And He said, how is it that you have no faith? The same story is told in Luke 8:25, and in that account Jesus says, where is your faith? Their faith was small. Their faith was non-existent. In fact, they cried out to the Lord at one time, Lord, increase our faith. That should be our cry all the time. Lord, increase my faith. Oh, preacher, I've been saved 25 years. I'm at the top. Don't have anywhere to go from here. Don't be foolish. Don't think we've ever arrived. We're always growing in faith till the day the Lord calls us home and takes us out. The disciples, He said to them, how is it that you have no faith? Then in Mark chapter 6 and verse 30, or Matthew 6:30, He said to them, O ye of little faith. Well, at least they're making progress. Why is it you have no faith? O ye of little faith. They should be at least proud of themselves that they went from no faith to little faith. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 8, verse 10, I have not found so great faith, no, not in all of Israel. Now, sadly, that wasn't about the disciples. That was about the centurion that came to have his servant healed. But Jesus tells us there are measures of faith. There's no faith. There's little faith. There's great faith. And we need to be always striving for that. Well, how do we do that? By reading the Word of God. By getting all the Bible in that we can every single day. So letter A in the production of our faith is to read the Word. Read the Word of God. Letter B, listen to Bible preaching. Listen to Bible preaching. 1 Corinthians, right after Romans, chapter 1, verse 21. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, "For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." The importance that God puts on the preaching of the Word. And that's how we grow. I got saved as an 18-year-old young man with no church background, not a clue. I didn't know Habakkuk was in the Bible. I didn't know Peter, James, and John probably at the time were in. I had absolutely zero knowledge of the Word of God. And the man that discipled me, taught me with him every day at lunchtime, we go back in the computer room and we take Bibles. They gave me a Bible because I didn't even have one. Gave me a Bible, said every day at noon we go back and we read the Bible back in here in the computer room. And so we did for 45 minutes every day. I watched these two other men that mentored me. I watched them and I did the same thing. I grew up thinking that's what, as a Christian, that's just what Christians do. They read their Bibles every day because that's what I was taught. Then I was in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. 18 years old. I didn't miss services Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Unless I couldn't providentially hinder, you know how that works, especially when you're in the military. But Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, all the time. Getting the Word of God, getting the Word, and I was hungry and I wanted it and I desired it. You know, sometimes I don't have that hunger and desire now. That's been 42 years ago. That's a lot of water under the bridge. And so I have to motivate myself to hunger and thirst after righteousness so that I will be filled. And I need Bible preaching. Now, I enjoy getting up here and preaching and teaching. I do. I love this. I love studying the Word of God. I love preparing messages and researching and reading and looking. I love doing all that. But I also need it this direction. You know, it's good for me to do this, but I need it this direction. I told Sonia tonight, I don't know why I'm saying this now. I said, I think I've missed not going to a Bible conference this year. Because usually every year I go at least once Bible conference, and with the leg problem I had this year, I didn't get around very much, and I didn't get that this year that I usually get every other year. And I personally, I'm confessing to you, I feel it. All right, I feel that I didn't get that because I need it just like everybody else. We grow, we develop our faith, we increase our faith through listening to Bible preaching. Now, the day we live in is wonderful. Technology's great. You can listen to a sermon on YouTube. You can listen to sermons online, internet. You can go just about anywhere. You have to try to be careful and weed out that you're getting the right stuff where you're going because everything's out there. All kinds of junk is out there. But we need that. We produce, we build our faith by Bible preaching. I don't think I mentioned this, but under number two, the production of faith, it said taking the shield of faith. The word taking indicates a continuous action. All right? Take, one time, take. Taking is continuous. So taking the shield of faith doesn't mean something we do one time. It means we're reading the Word continually. We're listening to preaching continually. Christians suffer. Christians that don't get into church and don't hear the preaching of the Word of God, they suffer. They come up with a lot of wild and wacky doctrines and ideas a lot of times. Because they're listening to things online here or there. They don't know who they're listening to and if they're reliable. Where being in church gives us a foundation that we can build upon, and we need to listen to Bible preaching. It'll strengthen us. It will help us grow. Letter C. In the production of faith, we read the Word of God, we listen to Bible preaching, and you're going to love this one. For your faith to develop, for your faith to grow, you're going to endure trials. All right, 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Trials and tribulations build our faith. It's not one that we would volunteer for. It would be our last choice. But it's what develops us. Sportsmanship, it's easy to be a good sport when you win all the time. There's no reward for that. But you know, I don't know if you were when you're in high school, if you're involved in the sports thing, somebody always got the sportsmanship award. You know who that usually went to? The guy that sat on the bench but had a good attitude. He didn't get into the game, he didn't get to play much, but he cheered on the other people, he did what he could from sitting on the and he got the sportsman. You know why? Because the guys that are out there and playing all the time, you know, but the guy that doesn't get that in there, that's sitting there enduring on the bench and yet has a good attitude, he gets the sportsmanship award. Well, the Bible tells us it's the same thing with our faith. Our faith grows not by the victories that we have, not by the wins that we accomplish, but by the struggles that we go through. When we go through those with a good attitude, we are building our faith. Now, we would volunteer. I don't know about you. I would. I'll volunteer to read the Word of God so I can build my faith. I'll volunteer to listen to Bible preaching so I can build my faith. Let's move on to the next point now. See, I'm going to skip over volunteering to endure trials to build my faith, because that's not what most of us, we don't wake up in the morning and pray, God, say, God, give me trials today so my faith will grow. And yet that's how our faith develops. So when those trials come, remember, this is a way for us to produce that faith, that we can go from no faith to little faith to great faith. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Number three, to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Number three is the purpose. The purpose of faith. Why are we supposed to take the shield of faith? To quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And again, some verses that we'll look at as we consider this third and last point, the purpose of our faith. You know, the Bible says, without faith it is impossible to please God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Letter A is, we need faith to please God. God is pleased when we show our faith. When we do things by faith. Now there are things we need to plan out. We need to be organized. Teaching our daughter Erin this at the kitchen table tonight. You need to write down a list sometimes of things that you need to get done so that you make sure you get them done. We need to plan and organize and not overriding that, but then there's sometimes we need to do things just by faith. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up. The bottom line doesn't add up when you do the pluses and minuses, the positives and negatives. But we do it by faith because God commands it. It's something we're supposed to do, so we do it. And when we do those things, we please God. Letter B, 1 Timothy chapter 6. And verse number 12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, wherein thou also art called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. The beginning of the verse, fight the good fight of faith. We need faith for Christian warfare. We need faith for Christian warfare. And that's what Ephesians 6 is all about. Putting on the whole armor of God. Having the shield of faith to stand against the fiery darts of that wicked one. We need that faith in the Christian warfare. That is the basis. That's what motivates us. That's what drives us. That's what gives us victory, is our faith. Songwriter wrote, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Letter C. James chapter 1, verse 6, right after the book of Hebrews. James chapter 1 and verse 6. Letter C. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven in the wind and tossed. Let him ask in faith. We need faith for answered prayers. We need faith for answered prayers. The Bible says in Matthew 21, when you pray, pray believing, and ye shall have what you ask. Faith. Pray believing. God, I don't think you can do this, but, well, he probably won't. We ask, we pray in faith. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Lord, I know you can meet my needs. Lord, I know you can help this person or that person. Lord, I know you can do it, and I'm asking you to do it in Jesus' name. We need faith for answered prayer. Letter D, Mark chapter 11, the Gospel of Mark. Chapter 11 and verse 22. Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed. We need faith for obedience. We need faith for obedience. Have faith in God. It's not always easy to do the right thing. It's not always easy to exercise faith. But we've been commanded to do it. We need obedience. A lot of times as Christians, we miss the blessings of God because of disobedience. We're saved. We love God. We want to serve Him, but we're also harboring disobedience in our heart. Things that we know God doesn't approve of. Or things that God wants us to do that we just don't want to get around to. And when we have that lack of obedience, our shield of faith is weakened. There's a crack in that shield. And believe me, when the devil knows there's a crack, he'll find it. Letter E. Romans chapter 14, verse 23. We're looking at the last part of the verse here. Romans chapter 14, verse 23, the end of the verse says this, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. We need faith to keep from sinning. We need faith to keep from sinning. When the Lord said, where is your faith? That was a rebuke to them. When he said, O ye of little faith, that's a rebuke to them. The thing that keeps us from sinning is our faith in God. You know why the world sins without regret, without remorse, without tears, without disappointment? Tell a lie? No problem. Steal? What a breeze. For the world, that's an easy thing to do. But for you and I, it's a crack in our shield of faith. And our faith keeps us from sinning. Just as it takes faith to be saved, and I'll read, if you're in Romans, it's just a few pages back. Acts chapter 20 and verse 21. Paul says, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Just as it takes faith to be saved, it takes faith to live the Christian life. Somebody says, well, I'm not going to get saved because I don't think I can live the life. Well, before you're saved, you couldn't. It's impossible. If you're going to look at it, if you're going to stand back from that viewpoint and say, there's the Christian life, I can't live that, you're right, you can't. Not without faith. Once you put your faith and trust in God, now all of a sudden it's, I'm not going to say easy, but it's easier to live the Christian life. I don't know about you, but I have done things in my Christian life, in my battles against sin, that I could never get victory over before I got saved. Because now there's faith involved. The shield of faith is a necessity. We can't survive without faith. We can't fight the devil without faith. We can't stand, therefore, without faith. So the Bible says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewithal we'll quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Make sure you have that shield of faith. Everybody has their own. You can't borrow somebody else's. Hey, give me your faith. Give me your shield for a little. No, I'm not giving you my shield for a little while. I'd leave myself open to the devil. Get your own shield. Build your own faith. And quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Let's stand together this evening together. We'll have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the